Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody. Everybody's going to have to open their Bible because Chip is on his laptop. On his cell phone, so he's not going to be able to post. Yeah, Chip got to do his dues. But everybody's going to have to open their Bible. We're not going to be doing a lot of thumbing anyway. You'll be mostly reading out of Colossians. But tonight is my 18th study on the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to be dwelling in the walk. Like always, as I feel that the fruit of the Spirit is our walk and the character that we present ourselves to others and each other. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this day. And Lord, all the blessings you give us in it, Lord, for those we see and especially those we know. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are on our hearts that need a healing or comforting. Wherever they are, Lord, seek out our family and friends and touch them, Lord, and comfort them if they need. And Lord, be with the speaker as he delivers this message tonight, and that it be for the uplifting and edification of the saints, and bring forth just another a blessed message of yours, Lord. For we know that your word is a blessing within itself. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. But like I said, this is my 18th study on fruit of the light, and it seemed like I'm getting kind of redundant in what I'm saying, at least it does to me anyway. But I feel like it's the Lord's leading me to do this, if not for myself, which I feel like it probably is, to keep me on the straight and narrow, especially this day and time with all the stuff that's facing us when we turn on the TV and see how crazy the prince and power of the air is allowing people to just be lunatics, if that's not the best word to use, but my studies in fruit of the Spirit have been studies to help me as a student in His Word to understand what His intent with our walk is to be. Because through Scripture, there's direction of following His, directions of following His commandments in early Scripture. If you don't follow the law, it was punishable by death, possible death, or disease. But if you walk in the law, you are righteous. Then after Jesus comes on the scene, the Savior, which was prophesied from Old Testament Scripture, gives living examples on how Scripture brings forth change, how God works with mankind differently through the ages and dispensations. With those in His Word, when Christ came to fulfill the law and ushering in grace, from that point, taught to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, Paul has a directive to the ecclesia, was to walk in the Spirit according to our exalted, risen Christ our head. Saints being of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians express the finished work of the seed, that Spirit being the Holy Spirit. Then in Ephesians, Paul directs the saints to walk in the light, which is Christ. Our daily walk and our character that we display to the world, being an example to others to see Christ's light in us, and be examples of the perfect man. And I'm using the term loosely because no man is perfect. But the new man in Christ is perfect in God's eyes, in Christ's eyes. In my last study, I expressed the light of Christ and how, as our example, we're to walk and be the example of that light. In John 1, 4, and 5, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light of men is all that in men which is true light, knowledge, integrity, intelligent, willing, subjection to God, love, and of God, and to their fellow creatures, wisdom, purity, holy, joy, rational happiness. All this is light of men. Light here is the purity that mankind has by following God's perfect Son. Fruit of the light expresses the light that is in Christ. Christ is the light, that beacon that ever in our heart desire to please Him. We as members of one another should be a guide or a light, example with express glory of His finished work, to each other and those that see us on a daily basis. It's my earnest desire that we all have the mindset of having Christ on our heart and prayer on our minds continually, being the light that Paul directs in Ephesians and in his earlier books. Tonight's study is how Paul directs our walk in Colossians. Tonight's study is probably going to be short because I'm basically going to be going through Colossians 2 and 3 and not going to be expounding on a whole lot of it, which I'm not one to expound on much anyway, am I? But in Colossians 2, 1 and 2 says, "For I, Paul, would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many have not seen my face in the flesh." How many of you guys seen him in his face in the flesh? I don't see no hands up because there better not be. Somebody can go back in time. "That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery and the Father of and of Christ." Knit together is sumbidazo. It's 48:82. It's of the base of 939 to drive together, and 939 is to walk a pace, by implication the foot. So this is to walk together in love. That's knit together, so walk together in love. And 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." References to walk that we can come up with. The prophet Micah spoke to Israel in Micah 4:2, "And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and the house of God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And in the kingdom message of 1 John, to the children of Israel, he writes in 1 John 2:1 through 6, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our sins only, but as for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in Him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him, and he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even also as Christ walked. So the directive here is for Israel to walk as the way Christ did from John. So many of the saints come today, come to mind, to my mind, with the next passage in our body message, it's TFT, Truth for the Day, to the Philippians, and reminds me, through their testimony, how blessed are they that follow Christ's direction in character and walk. In Philippians 1:27, hey, go, Ronnie. I just looked down and seen the screen. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I'm looking at the names on this, and I can see everybody. When we're together, when we communicate on the phone or on emails, I can see and know the love that comes from each and every one that's here. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul giving the example of our walk and the walk of the Philippians as to standing fast in the faith which with a oneness of mindset. In Ephesians 4:1-3, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And then he says how. He says, with all lowliness, with meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I don't see no arguing there, but the bond of peace. In Ephesians 5:1-2, two verses that I use every single time I've been speaking on all 18 of my studies here. It says, be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In Colossians 2:7, we're to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We go back to Galatians 2:20, where he says, I am crucified with Christ. This is to the kingdom. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ being the root, the base of your every thought and teaching of his character, walk ye yourselves in him by establishing yourselves in faith. Establish. That's 56:24. It's a helpful of serviceable and profitable. It's advantageous. In two different versions of Colossians 2:7, we see in the New Literal Translation, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. As thankfulness is one of our virtues to follow in our character's walk. And Rotherham states in 2:7, it says, rooted and built in him and making yourselves sure in your faith, even as you have been taught, surpassing therein with thanksgiving. From there receive complete in him Christ, putting of the sins of the flesh, the old nature, by the circumcision of Christ, buried in, with his baptism, raised through the operation of God, by resurrection, having been quickened together with him, where did you lose me at? You want me to start where I started in Colossians 3? You're quickened? Are you sure you're quickened with him? After Colossians 2:7? Okay, and then Colossians 2:7, say, we're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In Galatians 2:20, in comparison to that, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ being root, the base of your every thought and teaching of his character, we are to walk ourselves or yourselves in him by establishing yourselves in faith. Establish is the Greek form ophilimos. It's a helpful, serviceable, tongue-tied, and advantageous and profitable. In two different versions of Colossians 2:7, the NLT, New Literal Translation, he says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him, Christ. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. As thankfulness is one of our virtues to follow in our character's walk. In Rotherham, Colossians 2:7 reads, rooted and built up in him and making yourself sure in your faith, even as you have been taught, surpassing therein with thanksgiving. From there we're complete in Christ, putting off the sins of the flesh, the old nature, by the circumcision of Christ, burial, and with his baptism, raised through the operation of God by resurrection, having been quickened together with him, that blotted out the ordinances that was against us, that nailed to his cross. Then we get to chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Our directive is not seeking man desired properties or lust, but to seek the heavenly hope. To set your affections on things above, not things of the earth. And for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And he explains this. This can be explained in Colossians 2:13. And if you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. Then we get to 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The one appearing that we're all looking for, and the one scripture that I'm pretty sure is going to be on my headstone. It says, Mortify in 5, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In other words, put to death every one of these earthly desires. In 6 he says, For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And in 7 says, In the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. It plainly states that all the old man virtues was just published. And having put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image or the pattern of Christ, of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, and a Scythian is the lowest type of barbarians, which is probably pretty bad, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And in verse 12, we have our marching orders through the rest of the letter. Verse 12, it says, Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also forgave you, so also do ye. Above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness. This is one of the most, I would say, the most expounded virtues that we are to follow is to put on love, to express love even when you don't feel it. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Christ, the risen Savior, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Then we go into the families. It says, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as it is fit to the Lord. Husband, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. 22, it says, Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as signals of heart, fearing God. I don't know that there's any, or Personally, I don't know of any servant. In my life, I've never seen slaves or anything like that, but at this time period that this was written, I'm sure it was common practice. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That is the one we serve. We serve the Lord. We don't serve man. We serve the Lord. It's our directive to serve Him, to follow Him, and to seek Him. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And in Colossians 4, 1-6, it says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. And then continue in prayer. One of our virtues that we should do hourly, daily, every minute. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. With all praying for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. He says, Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. There's a lot of people walking today that are not wise scripturally because they're caught up in the mass, I'm going to call them churches because they're groups, mass groups. They like to go with the masses. They feel more comfortable in following along with the rest of them because they're in a large group. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. And I'm going to finish with Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, because it is our marching orders. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, the innocence of a child, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Thank you, guys. I know it's a lot of reading, but it's just an expression of our walk that we should follow, and I appreciate your time, and love you, each and every one.